You know, I had faithfully continued and concluded that discussion on the Serenity Prayer. Here's the problem, though. I didn't realize until after the fact that I had forgotten to set the recorder so that I could record that segment, segment two. And so I missed all of segment two. My apologies. Let me move on with segment three, which is something that had nothing to do with Serenity Prayer. I had moved on to a different topic. Still of interest, but again, my apologies for having forgotten that last part of the Serenity Prayer discussion. All right, now, I want you to hear a conversation between Butch Graves of Black Enterprise and Mark Cuban. It has to do with failing and selling. How many of you want to be very successful salespeople, business people, entrepreneurs? Have you had an opportunity to watch Mark Cuban on Shark Tank, seen on CNBC? Well, Butch Graves, Black Enterprises, Butch Graves had a conversation with Mark Cuban about failing and selling. I thought it might be good to offer you some motivation at the start of the week. I know sometimes we usually have Power Friday, which is very inspirational, motivational. But how many of us know it is good to be inspired, motivated, up other days of the week as well? Check out this conversation between Butch Graves and Mark Cuban.
Through this are important with the focus on sales first, because I my father would say to me all the time, the harder I work, the luckier you get.
Yep.
And he said, there's no trade secrets in this. This is just, you have to outwork the competition, whoever yep. anybody else is that stands in your way. And you don't even have to necessarily, I think about entrepreneurs today, and I think about my dad at the time. He knew nothing about media, knew nothing about publishing. The only thing he knew is that he said, I have three hungry kids at home I got to feed, so I just have to work harder than everybody else and
yep.
sell it.
Yep.
And I think the sales part, which I'd like you to stay on it for a moment, really is the most important element for an
yes.
entrepreneur
yes.
because,
yes.
you know,
yes.
if I had
yes.
a dollar for everyone who brought me an idea without a plan behind it, we have a private equity firm that fund that we were running that we would invest in folks. And they would spend all the time telling you about this plan, but never give you the thing about how you had to sell. And that's like, well, if you're the CEO, you're in charge, you have to be the number one salesperson.
Always. No right? exceptions.
You've got to be the number one salesperson.
So, I always say to people, if you come up with an idea where you say, I can make dollar bills for 50 cents, would you go out and raise money or would you just go out and sell it? You just go out and do it, and that's what you have to do. And look, we all go through that fear factor of, do I quit my job? Can I do this? Can I do this, and what happens next? The one thing I know with 100% certainty, and what I would tell myself is, if I can sell and become a better and better salesperson and be great at selling, I'm always going to be successful whether I'm working for myself or if the company that I started just didn't work. I'll give you an example. Out of Indiana, before I went down to Dallas, I needed to start something. And I decided that everybody drank milk, and I found this product, powdered milk, that was cheaper, and everybody needed to save money. And I was going to go out there and sell it because it was cheaper. Now, it didn't taste quite as good. And so I went out there to try to sell it. Failed miserably. But I learned how to make the sales effort even when things weren't going right. I learned that the rejection was, every no got me closer to a yes. That not every product was perfect, but I could take those same skills, even in failure, and translate them. So that what I learned selling garbage bags door to door, what I learned from selling powdered milk that was awful, what I learned from selling local area networks at Micro Solutions, all those things accumulated, and I got better at selling. So I always knew, people always say to me, if you lost everything, what would you do? I can sell. And it's not about selling ice to Eskimos. It's not about, convincing people to do this. Selling is always about helping. Selling is always about understanding the person you're talking to and what their needs are. And If someone can help me make my life easier, yeah. People, you know, now with employees, people always say, well, like, what's the definition of a great employee? Someone who can reduce the stress of those around them. And it's the same thing. What's the definition of a great salesperson? Someone who can reduce the stress of their salespeople. And if in looking at your company and looking at your life and looking at your goals, if you're able to go out there and recognize that whether it works or doesn't work, you're putting yourself in a position where you're helping somebody, not convincing somebody, but and you're reducing their stress, you're gonna be okay. It's gonna work out. And you know, that's the confidence I've built in myself that wasn't necessarily always there. But I learned that if I try to help, if I reduce people's stress, good things can happen.
You have always...
What do you think about that? And, you know, that if you come up with a way to reduce...
Just imagine.
Sorry about that. Other people's stress. Reduce their stress. So notice this now. Mark Cuban was saying, come up with ways to help people. All right. And if you're reducing their stress, you're helping them. How many of you say, nah, all I want to do is go ahead and make the money? I'm really not interested in helping. If I help, that can be a great byproduct, but all I want to do is get paid. How many of you have that attitude? That's all you want to do. You just want to get paid. But look at where Mark is. I mean, this man is very, very wealthy now. He basically learned from some mistakes that he made. Obviously, that powdered milk, which wasn't that good, was not a way of reducing people's stress if they were going to be drinking something that they really didn't like. So he learned, hey, I got to come up with a way to help people. Yes, I'll get paid along the way. But what can I do to help? So don't think that you can't help someone and get paid. How many inventions have we looked at that we said, wow, and we may not look at it as an invention right now, but when we first heard about it, when we first saw the commercial, we said, wow, we may not have been thinking about the word invention unless it was on a show that was about how people made their first millions, that kind of thing, and they were talking about their process of inventing, developing, etc. But these things that are being purchased have been invented. Someone came up with a way to make life a little easier for people, make life better for people. Whether it was an easier way to style the hair, whether it was an easier way to shave the face, whether it was an easier way to remove something from a piece of equipment while working on the equipment, whatever it was, some kind of way to make life better, to help. And some of these people are millionaires now, helping other people, coming up with a different design for a pillow that might help people sleep better at night. Coming up with ways to help people out and getting paid in the process. In my mind, that really is a whole lot better than just coming up with a way to get paid. You know, how many people get upset because someone offers a product that is so shabby, so shoddy, and they just get upset with them for having sold them that junk? Or they provide a service that they do a poor job of providing. And the person spent all this money buying it, and they're super disappointed at how this thing is turning out. And you've got them spending their hard-earned money, even if it's a major corporation, hard-earned money, basically for nothing. People don't appreciate that, but man, you come up with something that can help them. All right. I wanted you to hear that. Let me let you know this while I'm thinking about it, a little bit more about what's coming up this week. Tomorrow, I want us to resume our look at race, a view from several sides. Also want us to continue to pose the question of whether or not America needs to reduce our guns. Do we have too many guns in general? Or is it just a matter of guns being in the hands of too many of the wrong people? Do we have too many people with very bad reasons for wanting their guns? We have some people who are dedicated, devoted, committed to trying to start race wars, and they train with their guns for the purpose of being able to kill more of the ones they consider to be the enemies. Do we have too many guns? Do we have too many bad attitudes of people who own a lot of these guns? Wednesday, we're going to continue to look at answer the question, how are we doing? Particularly with reference to the various attitudes of Americans about the decision that fortunately has now been changed, at least for a while, to tear children away from their parents as the Trump administration had them met at the border. When you got married, those of you who either are married or have been married, when you got married, who arranged your marriage? You, the person you married? Was it truly an arranged marriage where your parents and the parents of the one you married decided that the two of you would connect for life? Which of those scenarios tends to work better? The marriages that they call love marriages or the marriages that we call arranged marriages? We're going to begin to take a look at that this week. You can go to speakingwith.com. Check out this week's guests and topics. You can also make sure that in addition to listening, by tuning in to 1550 AM The Voice, you can go to speakingwith.com. Click on the link that is labeled Listen Online at your convenience and listen to the broadcast of your choice. I'll be back in just a few.